Hello and welcome to the Vinecast. I am not William Saw. I'm actually, in fact, the far superior and far more British Craig Ballard. With me, I have William Saw.
Hello.
And everyone's favourite vegetable, James Cobb.
Stop! I don't have anything clever to say this time.
Because you ruined it in the last take. Anyway, let's start off with Will. Anything interesting happened to you in the past 2 months?
Well, I think many of the staff knew that I was an intern at X-Play, but it's been kind of fun working with Adam.
Poor thing.
Yep, I get the all the Dynasty Warriors games to like do a retrospective of, and well.
Oh yeah, we saw your acting skills.
Yeah, which is why they kept me on radio and not on TV.
You go to the radio. How flattering.
Yes. But yeah, game capping and lots of script writing and getting into the whole television side of video games is kind of interesting, but I'd rather stay on the editorial and writing.
Yeah, actually, how different is it as opposed to, you know, typical blog style stuff? I mean, other than the recording crap.
Well, there's just a lot more of the process of making the television is just the thing there. It's just you have a lot more tedium going through like the same package, video packaging and all that, but I mean it pays off in the end when you just get to see it on TV. So that's kind of the TV side.
Games wise, what have you been playing?
Scott Pilgrim, actually. That's been very it's very very game home montage-y game, and then it's fun because it's a beat 'em up. It's fun. I can't. Or River City Ransom.
Not quite as hard as that, but it's not exactly easy.
I love the soundtrack in that game.
Oh no, he's dropped. Anyway, yeah, came on.
Yeah, I love the soundtrack in the game. It's totally 8-bit chiptune-y, which I know you're into, Craig.
I am.
Are you?
I am a bit, I guess. I'm not like a huge fan of it. I wouldn't say I'm a chiptune guy.
But you're all listening to it. It's very retro-y, so you get sort of the whole 8-bit balling stuff in there, and little combos, and well, I lost my.
You lost your channel for it, have you? And welcome back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So, what do you think of Scott Pilgrim?
As I said, I think it looks like I want to be the guy who meets Double Dragon. I think it's gonna be fun. I haven't really played it, so I can't speculate or anything.
I bought it yesterday, and I'm enjoying it. You know, that's one of the games I've been playing recently. Well, the past day, I'm really up to the fourth Evil X, you know, the lesbian run, and I'm really quite enjoying it. I mean, I recently got the Bionic Calm, which apparently pretty much breaks the game into the end because it really makes you overpowered, as I've heard. So I just have to find out.
Is it out on Xbox?
Found out that.
No, not until the 25th. That's when the film comes out over here. I want to see it so badly. James, what about you? Anything interesting in the past? Whatever?
Since it's been like 4 months since I've been podcasting, I'll try to slim this down to the last week.
Fine, and since E3.
Basically all I've been doing is just working a ton, but other than that, every free second of my time has been consumed by gaming. I've been playing God Hand, Okami, Resident Evil 4, Sly Cooper 2, which I hate to death. I don't know why I'm torturing myself.
Oh yeah, you're on your PS2 frenzy, aren't you?
Yeah, Zone of the Enders, I did actually last night. I got Monday Night Combat, which I ended up playing a shit out of. It was a lot of fun. I plan to review that. And I played this new indie game called Aquaria, which is also a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've barely heard anything about Monday Night Fight. I've been literally just kind of come up to me and never really bothered to hear much about it.
It's actually not bad. I thought it'd be only okay. Like, then I got really excited when I thought I was going to get a review copy, which never happened. So I said fuck it and bought it because one of my friends got it. And it was a lot of fun. Like, just, it's very simple to play, and it's just
I mean, what's it about? What the hell do you do?
There's not really a plot. The only backstory is you're this rookie in getting the new Monday Night Combat tournament. It's basically a TV show where they fight to the death.
It kind of tells you in the presentation.
Yeah. Presentation is where this game shines, actually.
What sort of game is it?
It's like, it's a third-person shooter with, like, a Team Fortress 2 art style, but it's mostly all online. Like, you can play single-player, but you'd get bored really quick. There's no, like, campaign or anything.
You play the same map over and over.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Like, it's got its own horde mode, pretty much. It's got horde and it's got online. You can co-op that, fight all the bots, or you can go online and just kick a lot of ass. I've been enjoying the online.
Okay, now on my end, well, pretty much similar to you, just been working and playing games. Only differently is I've been, like, today to a customer, because I work on a daily counter, which involves serving chickens, dead chickens, obviously. And pretty much in the other end, like, a customer came to me and said, oh, there's a lot of chickens there. And to which I just reply back to them saying, yeah, it's like a chicken holocaust. To which I thought, I never really realised, should I have said that? But then again, the reaction on their face, you probably suggest that I shouldn't have said that. And other than that, 2 weeks ago, I just got to a club, wasn't drunk yet, and I fell over. This is more to that, I fell over, and somehow, just by falling over, badly injured my knee. It's always the way with me, but never injure myself. It's always for the most pathetic reasons. I just fall over. And I thought, it could be fine. But no, the pain's still fucking there.
The best part about that is, I got him to play Wii Fit, technically, with that gimped leg. On camera.
Yeah, you'd have. Those star jumps did not help.
They're therapeutic.
Anyway, on the game front, yeah, as I said, Scott Pilgrim. I haven't played much of that yet, but I'm enjoying that. Recently, though, I recently bought on the PSN Final Fantasy IX, because for some reason I had that nostalgia trip and I decided to buy it.
You must love Triple Triad so much.
What?
Oh, what was the mini game in that game?
Oh, yeah, the card game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course, that's why I play that game.
Not for the story, of course, no.
I feel out of place. I've never actually played Final Fantasy IX.
And, really? That's one of the best ones?
I've actually only played 6, which is technically 3. Or, 3 is technically 6. Fuck it. I've played 10. I've sadly played 12 and hated my life. I've played 7 and hated my life. I've played 13 and hated my life. I'm noticing a trend here, actually.
You should play 8 and 9.
I hear 8 is terrible.
I really like 8. It's a different kind but of Final Fantasy, and not everyone likes a draw system, but I really quite liked it. It had a different storyline, and also has some of the best epic moments in the Final Fantasy game.
It's probably one of the most underrated Final Fantasies up there.
Yeah, that and 9.
You know, yeah.
But 9 I just love, because it's like a throwback to all the other Final Fantasies, like the older style ones.
True.
Anyway, other than that, I've been trying to complete this Hydro Thunder review, but a mixture of things are getting in the way.
Yes, you need to get that up. I just got...
I keep on forgetting to save parts of it, so I kind of had to repeat the same 2 paragraphs about 3 times. That sort of killed my interest in the review. I mean, actually, I do quite like the game, but unfortunately, I just can't get this review done.
I remember the other week, I actually was in there and I put in your review, haha, Craig, I'm in your review, and then I checked a week later and that was still there. So I was laughing my ass off that you had done.
During those 2 times, I wrote stuff in there, and of course, my computer crashes and I don't get, and it doesn't save. Anyway, yes, I will get this done this weekend. I will get it done and get it posted Monday, so I'm sorry, Vector Unit. I'm sorry, I've been trying to get this done. I want to get it done. It's been in my mind so much. But anyway, yeah, Hydro Thunder, it's a pretty decent game.
Just score the game here. Just score it here.
3 out of 5. I was going to give it 3.5, but apparently we don't do 0.5s because you haven't done graphics for them.
No, we don't do 0.5s.
I want to do 0.5, so the reason why I want to do 0.5s.
I mean, there was no excellent 0.5.
No, but I did... Ah, no, but in one of my reviews, I did average slash good. That's like a 0.5.
I know, you broke our review scale, for God's sakes.
I know, but it's like, so the reason why I didn't get an extra 0.5 score, blame Will. So you want to complain? Blame him.
Alright, bring it on. Send all your hate mail to will@monstervine.com. I'll take
it. Yeah, I was floating between 3 and 4, but I tried to settle with 3 because of the lack of options on multiplayer.
And, yeah. Rubber Ducky, why you gotta hate on that? It's so fun.
I tried using a duck once. It was horrible, but that's not the point.
You were the duck.
But that's the point of it. It's meant to be horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Okay. So that's everyone's had a very monotonous week or few weeks.
It's August. There's nothing to do.
Hey, I played Zone of the Enders for the first time. That is something epic.
Yeah, but you're like 10 years too late there. Anyway.
Did you like it?
Now on to even some monotonous news, because nothing has been happening in August. I guess things have been happening, but let's be honest, most of the gaming news is absolutely boring. This game's come out. This game's got a screenshot. Oh, look, that game is doing something slightly different, which the developer thinks it is, but it really isn't. So, generally, these are two things that I find vaguely interesting. And one of them is, well, it's there because it's new. Let's start with the new thing, which is the announcement of BioShock Infinite. Oh, yeah, I got it right that time.
What?
Infinite.
Yep.
It's infinite, so there's no number attached to this thing, apparently.
So it's like a spiritual successor, I assume.
Spiritual
anyway,
successor.
Will.
It's actually a prequel to the original BioShock.
Prequel?
Prequel.
Set in the sky.
It's a direct prequel.
12,
direct
I
prequel.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
It takes place in 1892, I think.
1912.
Is that, yeah. I saw late 1800s, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like earlier.
Anyway, Real, would you like to explain the story of this one, since you posted the article?
So apparently, there's no ties between BioShock and this game, apparently, but this is more like BioShock, just imagine it in the sky, and you'll basically get the gist of it.
I assume it's taking away the creepiness of it, because it seems quite bright and colourful, so I assume they're going for a different atmosphere.
SkyoShock.
No, that would be a good name. SkyoShock, I like that.
The inside of the places, they all looked dark and depressing still, so the atmosphere actually looks the same, except when you go outside, you're going to be greeted by sunlight instead of a whale.
What whales did you see in BioShock?
BioShock 1? BioShock 1?
Did I don't know that. Shows much I pay attention.
Near the beginning.
Intro cutscene. Oh. It looks interesting. I mean, well, as long as it has the whole power system still playing in. It's like you get psychic powers this time, and that's going to be interesting when you play with the Elizabeth, who's like your partner character in the game.
Wait, and that girl in the trailer is actually going to matter? I thought that she was just for show. Like,
She's... She's gonna matter as a partner later on in the game, because you have to escape that Columbia place, and you have to use her in certain situations that would have like consequences, like Ken.
So she can levitate you across the map, so you can win, and then drop you.
I'm just waiting to see more gameplay.
Hey, Will, I just noticed your comment saying move on to news soon. Fuck you, I'm hosting this shit. Don't try and control me, man.
Oh god.
Backseat host.
I mean, if I was a backseat driver at E3, so fair enough.
As far as SkyoShock goes, it's a day one purchase for me, just because it's by the original developers who got the shit right. It has Andrew Ryan in it again, and it looks original. That's good for me. It's a perfect game already.
Fair enough. Okay, anyone else going to say about it? Because I haven't got much to say about it other than it looks interesting.
As long as it has gameplay that fits the game,
AI
fine.
That charge right at you!
Yeah, there we go. I think that's what I'm going to say. As long as it has gameplay, I'll be happy. Yeah, there we go, there's my input. As long as it has gameplay.
As long as a video game in the video game industry has gameplay. Okay.
We said that, but Nigga Metal Gear Solid had barely any.
I think Naughty Bear had gameplay.
It did. Interesting, but critically flawed gameplay. Oh yeah, actually, yeah, I could talk about that game since I was going to review it, but we never got round to it. Pretty much, my review was going to be consisting of destroying a teddy bear. But basically, I liked it for 10 minutes. Yeah, I liked it for about 10 minutes, and it kind of got me quite boring after a while. I mean, you kind of did change your tactics once you got the ninja bear, because you kind of couldn't be seen, so unless you caused trouble, you couldn't actually be seen by anyone, so you can set traps easier. The game becomes so much better when you can... Well, you didn't have to worry about the stealth aspect too much, because the stealth in that game is bad, so you couldn't really do all the stealthy things. But
it's terrible. It's terrible.
It's when you got that ninja suit, it just made all the difference, because you can just go around and you can walk past them, but as long as you don't attack them, they won't notice you, because it's a perk of the costume. Well, the idea is to cause as much trouble as possible. Exactly. I did like the whole AI bit, and I did like the whole idea that to get more points, you cause trouble as opposed to just killing them flat out straight away. Make things more interesting, like, you know, sabotage their sink, so they go and fix it, so you can then go and scare them while they're fixing it, like, by flushing their face in the water. There were some humorous parts to it, but unfortunately, it got old quickly. That game would have been better off as a downloadable title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are some games that are just better off as a downloadable title, like Tim Schafer's new game, apparently. It's going to be so bad.
You have so much hope, don't you?
I don't anymore, actually, which is weird, because I will tell everybody in the world that he's my favorite game developer. It's like, oh, so you like Brutal Legend? No, not at all. What about his upcoming game? It looks terrible.
The first half was brilliant of that, but then it kind of flopped and it kind of turned into an RTS. A shit RTS. I never completed it. I got to the last stage and never completed it because it came pointlessly hard. Like, you could defend all these people and then, like, the enemy just brings that one guy who slaughters everyone.
You got farther than me. The last thing I remember doing was fighting a giant spider after an RTS fight, and I was like, I don't care anymore. I just put down the controller and I walked away. That was it.
Speaking of walking away, next up is the PSP phone, which you can walk away with.
Oh.
Ooh. Clever.
Yeah, clever, I know.
You clever dog.
Crap,
you.
I was going to say something here, but I can't find the article.
Pull it up quick to Detoid. Find Sterling. Of course.
Apparently they're making the PSP, Sony's working with Google to...
I didn't actually read the article, so can you guys go over that real quickly with me?
It's in speculation, but they say that the phone would be a mixture between a PSP and one of those Sony Ericsson thingamajiggies. Pretty much, it'd be like a PSP Go, but have a phone capability added to it.
So, like, would it be an app you download into the PSP, or would it be like you have to buy a whole new PSP?
No, it'd be I think it's a separate thing. I think that this is basically the sort of thing the PSP Go should have been in the first place.
If they really wanted to market it, iPhone route.
Pretty much, they say it could hit the market as early as October of this year.
Now, here's a question. One, will it replace my iPhone? Because my iPhone's pretty sexy, but it can't play God of War.
I have no idea. This was speculation. Well, we'll say it involved a touchpad like, you know, most smartphones do. 1 gigahertz of CPU, which is good. Like, that's what my phone's got, and that's pretty good.
That was actually going to be my next question, if it had a touchpad.
Yeah.
Because, Wii ripoff. Or not Wii ripoff. DS ripoff. I got to get my
iPhone ripoff.
I mean, the iPhone ripoff. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
It won't replace your PSP. It won't have all the same technical functionality.
So basically, it'd be like a phone, but you can slide it up and you can play PSP on it. Which to me sounds like a good idea.
It would be a good idea if I could play Birth by Sleep or God of War on it. If I can do that, or I can play Peace Walker. I almost said Sleepwalker. If I can play Peace Walker, I'm cool with it. I'd buy it.
It seems to be it's just a PSP Go with phone capabilities. So, and a camera. So basically, it's your typical smartphone.
That's everything the PSP was originally supposed to have, but never
got.
It's
going to be packed with Android 3.0, which isn't even out yet, because we're going up to 2.1 or something, aren't we? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but if Android, the Android system is pretty damn good. It's very customizable.
True.
And then, of course, it generally...
Isn't the Android system made by Google?
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Alright,
so what do you guys think of this idea? Do you think it's nice? Is it good? Do you think it's just stupid?
I'd actually buy it. I need to see more, and I need to see if it's not. If it'd be nice if it's true.
Yeah.
It's kind of the whole Duke Nukem Forever thing. Oh, it'll be nice if it's true.
No, Gearbox is working on that now. Gearbox, don't worry about that.
Yeah, fuck it. No, they're not. Lies. Don't believe it.
That's also Boomer 2, but...
They are working on Borderlands 2.
And Anthony Birch over there won't respond to any of those comments, so we'll see.
Oh my god, if he actually was writing for... If he was writing for Duke Nukem Forever, I'm not sure if it'd be extra hilarious because it'd pretty much be a hop episode, or it would be the worst idea ever because he wants deep writing in games, so he'd try to turn Duke Nukem into this tattered soldier.
It's very indie.
And we're going to be like, no, Anthony, bring on the strippers.
Well, it's going to be like a hipster version of Duke Nukem.
Yes! Scott Pilgrim versus Duke Nukem. Forever.
Oh, jeez. Alright.
We need to get Diego's version of Duke Nukem Forever, the one where it's like, Gordon Freeman was really Duke Nukem, and he's ready to kick some combine ass.
Basically, you could go anywhere with Duke Nukem and people would...
At this point, I think it's just like a video game developer's fan fiction. Like, if they're bored, they just start writing for Duke Nukem. Even Peter Molyneux said he wanted to do a Duke Nukem game to bring the franchise back. And I was dying laughing. Because I'd imagine, you can touch people in Duke Nukem. Stripper technology! Finally!
It's all Kinect ready, you know? just waiting for it to be used.
Instead of Milo, it would be Duke. You talk to Duke Nukem, you have your pet Duke Nukem.
Right up there with Yuri's Animal Molestation.
Yeah, just call it Skittles, and you got yourself a game there.
Hey, I have always been an M&M's fan, thank you.
All right. Awesome.
Moving on. So I guess the general consensus of that is, the PSP phone looks like a good idea, and we just hope to look for more. All right.
We're going to stop the recording and get...
Well, I guess we have to now, because you just said...
Well, I mean, we're good.
No, we don't. Keep going. I don't want to risk it. Keep going. No.
Okay, let's keep going. We keep going. Okay, this is like a good whatever the hell is happening here. All right, next article of business. Mafia 2 demo. What do you think? But instead, we take a twist on it. You have to guess what the other person thinks of it. So, James, you have to guess what Will thinks of it. Will has to guess what I think of it. And I have to guess what James thinks of it.
Oh my god, you're going to have so much fun.
So, right. James, what does Will think of Mafia 2? Go.
Will thinks it's very solid, but Will is all of a sudden like, where the fuck are all the Asian people? They immigrated by that time, come the fuck on. Where is my DDR chick?
Fuck you.
Will's sitting off as he's playing it saying, fuck you 2K, where's my Skyoshock? Why the fuck is there a Grand Theft Auto clone? Give me System Shock 3.
He also has some bitterness over what happened at E3 with our appointment schedule.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, grr.
Wait, you guys didn't get into 2K?
No, we've gone to 2K, fine, but they could have messed up with our Mafia 2 appointment. They overbooked it.
So in his head, my psychic instincts are telling me that Will is like, so this is the game I could have wasted my time at E3.
Yeah, they asked us to see XCOM about 3 times the whole time, like... Will saw it as a public schedule. I was meant to see Spec Ops, but I saw XCOM instead. And then for the third time, we got to see Mafia 2, and you're thinking, oh, it's full up. Do you want to see XCOM? Nope, we've already seen it. So, I don't know if that was an accident, or they both really wanted to see XCOM for some reason.
All right, I want to hear what Will thinks Craig thought of the game.
Where's the bloody British people in this game? Oh, wait. It's in New York, which I think James would be very proud of.
What's all the stereotypes?
I'm not, actually.
What's with all the stereotypes? So like, oh, he's British. Oh, he's Asian. Oh, he's American.
I think.
You know, I actually can't deny the whole American thing right now. You guys could take all the shots you want because behind me, I shit you not, is a McDonald's bag just sitting on the floor, like empty. There's like, I'm probably sure there's ants in it. Like, there's wrappers all over the place.
Oh, please, on Wednesday, me and my friends realised we had a bit of an American day. We were in, like, a shopping centre, you know, because not many of those in England, I admit. And we had Mountain Dew with us and just went to Taco Bell, the only Taco Bell in the country. So we felt very American that day.
I actually saw that on Twitter, and you said, what else do we need? And I replied, coffee with, like, so much cream and sugar in it.
Yeah, we couldn't think of what to do up there. Everything else was too British. We couldn't think of anything to do for a Merc Day. Other than driving on the right-hand side of the road, but that'd be a bit too dangerous.
I think, well, all right. I think Craig would think, like, stealing hot dogs and hamburgers in that game would be just as fun as Diego made it out to be. Steal hot dogs.
Boy, you two suck at this.
Hey, I got laughs out of you guys for about 3 seconds, so that works.
Yes, that works as well. I think you actually did not like it. I think that the whole idea of installing it on to get a demo killed you inside. Like, oh, I had to download this. Everyone wants to do this for the podcast. Oh, this sucks. And from that, you had such a bad time trying to download it. You just didn't bother to play it.
Actually, I'm not even gonna lie. It took me about 8 seconds to download the game. But Craig is absolutely right when he says I thought it was shit, because it was shit.
Really? You thought it was shit? Okay.
I thought it was. I'm sitting here like, where's Carl Johnson? Where's Tommy Vercetti? Where's Nico Bellic?
Vercetti, that's the 80s.
Where are all these characters I know? Because this is a Grand Theft Auto clone. Okay, not only is it a Grand Theft Auto clone, but they take the dicking around out of Grand Theft Auto. They take the ability, I don't know how, but they enforce speed limits. It's like, you can run red lights and get pulled over. The only thing you can really do is steal food, and I found that entertaining for about 3 minutes, and then stopped giving a
no,
shit.
No, but I heard it was much harsher in the first Mafia. The cops even tighter than that, apparently. They've toned it down a little bit.
Yeah, that's stupid. It's a fucking video game. I don't want to drive the speed limit to get to places. Fuck that.
I didn't get chased by police. But actually, I found the thing is that game, the driving controls were quite sluggish. I couldn't control very well. I could not command corners at all. I was like, turn, and boom, man, like, almost died.
Yeah, it was actually, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but the driving controls were actually worse than GTA 4's.
I think it's because they built it, I think they took that realism that GTA 4 had, but to do with the cars that were in the 50s, which were shit compared to the are now, so kind of the two double-edged sword, but both ends are both inside your heart.
Well, cars back then were built like tanks, basically. You could basically die if you...
And that's how the car felt. The car felt like...
Okay, now, here's how badly I hated GTA 4's driving controls. After beating the game, I went to play it again about a month later, sucked so much at the driving controls. After rage quitting, I took the disc, put it in the case, drove to GameStop and said, can I exchange this for Mario Kart Wii? A game where I can actually control my vehicle. I traded mature, brutal, dicking around for Wii controls. That's how bad it is.
Indeed.
I felt anyway, safer using the Wii.
But what do you think of the actual main mission bit, if you actually got to that part?
I only played 5 minutes of the 10-minute demo, but yeah.
It's not 10 minutes. No, it's not 10 minutes. Once you get to the mission, the actual main mission part, the timer stops and you complete that mission.
Oh, can you?
Yeah,
really?
That 10 minutes is just for you. Yeah, that 10 minutes is just for you to dick around for 10 minutes and explore the world a bit, which I didn't actually do. I just kind of just followed the marker and just went and tried the mission out, which I actually died a few times.
I really just put in the game, loaded up the demo because, one, I had to for this. Two, I did it because I had to see if the controls were tight, I had to see what was going to be the annoyances. And there were a lot of annoyances, like, I can see getting really annoyed just having to go 30 and you can feel like, you can tell the game's going to feel really slow, like getting from point A to point B.
No, but I didn't go 30 at all, I was going quite fast, but I didn't get any stop to pull over. I was fine when I was just driving pretty fast.
I don't know. I like the mission structure, the whole thing. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the cover system, though.
Oh yeah, that kind of the general combat there. You know, you can get killed so quickly. Like the helicopter guns have been done so quickly that sometimes it's like, I just was fine. Went in the corner, I just got shot and I died pretty damn quickly by mistake.
Yeah.
There were quite a few cheap deaths I found.
Yeah, it's trying to be over-realistic, like Grand Theft Auto 4 was, but Grand Theft Auto 4 is kind of sort of compensated. Like, I don't really know how to describe it. I just know I'm not a fan of it, I'm not going to be buying it. Let Diego give it an excellent. We'll disagree again. Uncharted 2 all over again.
I do really want to enjoy this game. It sort of has a lot of potential in my eyes. Can you get a sense of... But it does feel like a slightly unpolished GTA.
Yeah.
True. I mean...
In my opinion, if you want a game like... If you want a good game like that, go play Crackdown or go play GTA 4.
Crackdown's completely different. It's a completely different style game. You can't compare Crackdown to Mafia 2.
Crackdown 2 is a different, completely different game, but, like, if you want a game where you just want to have some fun dicking around, you want to have some fun in the combat, Crackdown's a lot more fun.
It's like comparing Portal to Singularity. They're both completely different games, even though they both use, I guess, some sort of physics. They're both completely different.
Did you just call time physics?
No.
Yes, you did. You totally just called time control physics.
I got
physics
so
refers to physical objects. Go ahead, touch time. I'll wait. Go move time about.
Easy, obviously. There you go. You just lost 2 seconds. Okay, sure, Crackdown's also an open-world game involving this city and your police officer, I guess, but they're completely different types of games.
Like I said, if you
were... open-world sandbox,
third-person, but that's all they have in common. Shooting gangs. The only difference is Mafia 2 has a story.
But that's like getting the difference between Oblivion and Final Fantasy. They're both RPGs, they both involve XP systems.
Alright, I think...
They both involve fighting monsters.
No. Hold on, we're getting into this.
No.
Yeah. Besides, me, I'm hosting here. Don't
I would compare those two games. Me. I would, and I'd use it to have a culture debate. Like Francis and Will did when they raided IGN.
All right, go.
Fuck you, Hillary Goldstein. We're not getting more Western. We will tell our story.
Oh God, yes. Oh God, that thing. That was how long ago was that?
That was years ago.
Two years ago.
Jesus Christ, been up old news or what?
Promotion wherever you can get it.
Ah, crap, I forgot what we were talking about here.
Mafia 2 demo.
That is it. Okay, Bill, what do you think of it? Because we've had our opinions, but what do you think?
I like the open world structure, all the interactivity and the destruction in it, so I'm definitely going to check this out. It's better than playing Kane and Lynch 2.
Really?
He's sucking up for the reviewer's
sake. I'm not
sake.
Reviewing it.
Yeah, you can't really say much, can you, with that? But you're not reviewing it? Who
Diego?
Does?
I'm reviewing Kane and Lynch 2.
Oh. That boss is getting everything.
I know, right? That goddamn Mexican.
Oh, you bastards.
You take one more game from us, Diego, and I swear, I will call fucking us.
To be fair, though, we did offer Kane and Lynch 2 out to people. It was like, people want to play this? And people were like, no. Like,
I will report you to immigration. There was the phrase I was thinking of. That did slip my mind. Wow. Proud to be American.
Originally, Will was going to play it because no one else wanted to.
Yeah, you kind of stuck me with that one.
I literally raised my hand and said, if no one else wants to do it, I'll give it a go.
Well, that shows how attentive Will is.
No, I'm not giving you that game.
Will wanted Kane and Lynch. Will wanted to be the next Jeff Gerstmann. Let's admit it. He's going to start up a blog called hugebomb@blogspot.com.
I like the at blogspot.
It's because I couldn't afford the actual domain. No, Kane and Lynch is horrible. Never get that. Don't get that. Get Mafia 2 instead.
You say that, but isn't it embargo for that game?
This will be up way after the embargo.
Oh, is it? I don't know when this game comes out. I don't really pay attention.
Pay more attention than... Alright.
Fuck both games. Get Monday Night Combat.
Alright, there you go.
Okay.
That'll be the only game I'll ever give an excellent... And I can't believe I'm going to have to do it. I have to actually find a way to praise a game.
Oh, that's how I felt with Limbo, actually. I was like, I feel bad because... Actually, the thing is, I hate reviewing excellent games. Because you feel like, okay, what can I say bad... You feel like a bad reviewer if you can't see anything bad about it. And you're just nitpicking. You feel like... Am I doing this right?
You feel like Yahtzee.
Or you feel like, am I doing this right? I can't think of anything bad to say. Am I just a bad reviewer? I can't think of anything bad.
That's why I'm like, oh, come on. Really? Monday Night Combat is too awesome. I can nitpick Uncharted 2 to death. I can literally crucify that bitch and just start stabbing at it. But I can't criticize Monday Night Combat. I'm going to have to try harder.
How about single player?
There's no single player, actually, in Monday Night Combat.
No, I thought there was.
There's a local play, but it's really... It's not much you can really do in it. Like,
there we go.
Yeah. Gotta throw in single player. God damn, this whole multiplayer aspect's gone. Yeah, I can work with this. Let's continue.
Anyway, I think it's a good time to have a break. So, yep. Let's have a break. And welcome back. There have been a few changes. I am now from inside to outdoors, and in the outdoors, I'm right next to some tall grass. And what the fuck is that? It's a wild Hungarian named Jury. Let's say hello.
Yeah, hello guys. I swam across the sea and the oceans and the rivers and ran across the mountains, and now I'm here to help out this podcast because they really need me.
Now that is dedication. I say that much.
That might also be a world record.
Okay,
how long was that break?
Yeah, but nah. Actually, this time it took like 10 minutes. Last time I did it in 8.5. That was better. I'm kind of out of shape.
Unfortunately, during that 10 minutes he was away, he missed a very vital in Mafia 2 discussion. So now to make up for it. Jury, what do you think of the Mafia 2 demo?
Well, Craig, I feel weird about it. I'm kind of disappointed, but hopeful.
That seems to be the consensus around here. I mean, that's how I felt.
Yeah, well, when Mafia, the first one, came out, GTA was only up to Vice City, if I remember right. So,
true.
Yeah. Back then, if you remember, GTA didn't even have interiors back then. We were just out on the streets killing people. So when Mafia 2 came and had a lot of these in, you know, these big mansions, boats, dockyards, whatever, and all these context-sensitive things, it was really a big thing back then, but... Gameplay-wise, Mafia 2 is not that impressive, really, at least in my opinion. You know, it's basically another cover-based shooter, but I liked the town itself, and I liked how the demo mission went. Like, you know, you went through the warehouse, then it erupted in a fire, then you had to cover... Well, you didn't really have to cover your friend because no one was there, but point being... Point being, you know, your partner got shot in the leg, you guys had to carry him out, so it wasn't just a random go into this building, kill a bunch of people, go out kind of mission. So I'm hopeful that the game will be good, that the missions will be unique, and it doesn't take too much from GTA and abandons its roots, pretty much.
First off, I just want to say thank God actually somebody in this podcast mentioned Mafia 1, because I'm pretty sure none of us had fucking played it or cared about it or even heard of it.
I have not played it. I mean, of course I've heard of it. It's a sequel, so obviously there had to be a Mafia 1.
Dude, there was no Street Fighter 1. What the fuck are you talking about? They went right to 2. There was no Street Fighter 1. They could have did the same thing with Mafia.
No, it was called Fighting Street back then, you know.
Damn, no wonder I didn't find it in my emulator.
I thought it was just lane fighting. No, they're fighting lanes as opposed to streets. They're kind of downgraded to alleyways.
Yeah, so...
Goddamn heretics. How could you not play Mafia?
No, we haven't. Fuck Mafia. I was a Vice City kid.
Well, I...
Actually, so was I.
I was both, you know? I could do it.
Rich, for you.
Alright, anyway, second, I just want to actually say, as far as you said about that one mission, I do want to point out something. It's a demo. Yeah. They could have chosen the one fucking good mission and the rest are go here, kill that person.
That's a good point. But apparently, no, doesn't the game span decades? Like, you know, Assassin's Creed 2 does, you know, like, apparently that bit is before the...
Yeah, you go from the 40s to the 50s.
Yeah, because that 10-year gap is there while your guy's in jail or something like that.
We kind of already know what's going to happen, because, like, the end of the Mafia comes around the 50s, so... I mean, eventually, you know, there's going to be some trouble coming up for these guys.
So now there's three games we know, the ending two coming out this year? Actually, four. Four games. No, I can even go up at five. We have five games we know the ending to coming out this year. We have Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, which we know the ending. Ezio's gonna die, because they want to do the future one. Okay, we know two. Halo Reach, we know everybody's gonna fucking die, because they have a book about it. Now we know everyone's gonna fucking die in Mafia 2. Kirby, we know, is gonna fucking win. We know Kirby is gonna save the day. And we know that Donkey Kong is gonna find some barrels. Alright? That is what we got this year. We have predicted
Kirby
five
always
endings.
Wins.
Okay, so how about predicting Black Ops, bitch, if you're so clever?
Vietnam ended badly for us. What do you think?
There's going to be a nuke at the end. Probably.
Yeah, the final boss goes on a 25 kill streak and summons a tactical nuke. So.
Yeah, like a giant... anti-shark nuke that wipes out everything in the ocean and humanity dies.
Or just giant mess
and
tiger.
And that's how Bioshock begins.
Ooh, there's even tie in there. That's interesting. Yeah. Anyway, so it seems like the general consensus is Mafia 2 could be better, but seems sort of hopeful. Though in James' cases, I can't done turn it on.
You
no,
suck.
James' case is, I fucking hate this game. I'm not even going to play more than 5 minutes of a 10-minute demo.
It wasn't even 10 minutes. That was just 10 minutes to fuck around in the open world, and after that, it went to a mission.
You know what? That's what everyone kept telling me to do. Just keep fucking around. You'll have a lot of fun. I'm like, okay, I can do this in every game. Cool. I can do this in Gears of War where the shooting's more polished, or I can do this in Halo where the shooting's more polished. I can play Shadow Complex for the shooting. Why am I playing Mafia fucking 2?
Okay, but in Gears of War, you can't wear a nice suit. But that's a big thing.
Space armor better than tuxedo. Fact.
Ah, but you can wear a decent suit in Red Dead Redemption, I think. Well, at least I think it's decent.
I'm sorry, I have to raise my hand here. My name is James, and I have a confession... that I never played Red Dead.
Get out of here.
Leave. Burn the heretic.
No, don't just leave. Just pity. Just pity. Anyway, moving on from that bombshell. We should move on to the next... Let's go to our next topic of conversation, which is innovation in this generation. Is it a thing? Now, it seems that James has a very high opinion of what
I'm going last.
Of this.
I'm going last. I am going fucking last.
Well, that's
good. Go
point.
Around the circle.
Fine, okay. Then. Will, what do you think? Is this generation being innovative, or is it just being a giant ball of sack? Wait, ball of sack? You know what I mean. You get the metaphor.
I think games are definitely kind of improving from your last gen to this gen, but seriously, It's not really that great. I mean, I think the downloadable front is a lot more innovative because you get all these indie games, but on the more like AAA budget, like those kind of budget titles, aren't really like pushing the standards of like gaming forward as it should be. I mean, like you can only go so far with like a cover-based shooter before everyone else starts doing it. And I think that's what's happening this generation. It's like shooting is the main thing.
Well, it's simply like money, isn't it? Now, because since games are costing more to make, people want to stick to safer options. It's just a general business way. Stick it safe, and if you can, maybe occasionally innovate. But generally, it's kind of frowned upon, especially in an industry where we kind of tend to buy the same crap. I mean, Call of Duty continues to do... really well. Gears were doing well. These franchises will continue to do well. I mean, being out something new like Mirror's Edge or, I don't know, something like that. I can't even talk in my head right now. And we kind of go, oh, that thing's interesting, but I won't buy it because, you know, it kind of sucks. Even though, like, when new things do come out, we kind of... We get to yeah, too critical to a point that we just shun it down, and it kind of gives these developers thinking, so why do we even bother? I mean, every franchise started quite slow and badly, and then, of course, lit up to what it is today, but we just don't give that chance for it to happen.
That's the exact point. That's the problem, though, that gamers today think their vote counts with a forum post that these people are a tweet saying, we need more innovative games, we need more innovative games. No, their vote counts every time they go to a fucking GameStop and buy something like FPS 9742 and then buy Halo Reach or Call of Duty, which, by the way, I'm going to buy Halo Reach, but shut the fuck up.
Who isn't?
Every human being is, but yeah, that's the thing. We didn't buy games like Jet Set. We haven't bought any Mirror's Edge games. We're not buying anything that's doing anything innovative. I mean, the only games that really stuck out were BioShock and Assassin's Creed, and that's because they did something right in the shooter mechanic. Well, BioShock did. Assassin's Creed somehow got really fucking lucky. I'm still baffled by that. I guess people wanted more GTA, and GTA 4 was taking too long.
Well, those two games had good marketing, too.
Yeah.
Also, Assassin's Creed is done by, you know, the Prince of Persia series, which generally quite seen as a really... Well, they are. It's a really good trilogy. So everything in... it's done by a Assassin's Creed developer. Same sort of principle of parkour, but an open world scenario. I heard that. It sounds like a fucking brilliant idea. People played it, and fairness, there was a lot of awesomeness to it, but at the same time, it did kind of have its issues. But I think it's one of those games where people... let those issues happen, and we've got Assassin's Creed 2, and they improved upon it, and we've got a much better game for it. It's where small innovations have made a difference to a game.
The problem is it was able to sell to the general gaming audience, which, by the way, let me clarify. The general gaming audience, for those of you who are, if we have any listeners or anything, or just people in this room who are confused, the general gaming audience are those fucking stoners you see on Modern Warfare, or the 12-year-olds that you see pulling on their mom's dress saying, "Mommy, mommy, I want that new Indiana Jones game." That is the general gaming audience. They aren't casuals, because they are actually playing something that isn't on the fucking Wii, but they're just enough in there to not be hardcore.
Yeah, they're typically those guys who play shooters and nothing else. Like, they play GTA and Call of Duty, mostly PC gamers who download the games from torrents and such. I mean, seriously, every PC gamer I know, I live in Hungary and my country sucks, so go figure, but every PC gamer I know downloads their games, and the two games they play are Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto, and maybe Assassin's Creed, but I mean, that's it.
And see, that's the problem with, like, Assassin's Creed. I'm not gonna bash it, because I actually really like Assassin's Creed. I didn't even play the second one, so that's saying
what
something.
What the fuck? I'm sorry, the first one, it was good, but, you know, it was a halfway through, you kind of got a bit bored. The second one improves it in every single way. How can you not be thinking, I'm buying that? If you're not the first one, thinking, oh, I'm going to buy this one then, because it improves in every single way possible.
Okay.
I won't buy it.
Okay. Why haven't you bought it? Assassin's Creed 1 was repetitive, but I bought that game and I loved it. It was repetitive.
So why not buy the second one?
The assassinations.
The thing is, I don't care about that. Why didn't you buy the second one?
I don't have any money.
That's another problem.
I bought Modern Warfare 2 twice, actually.
Twice.
So you
twice.
Bought.
See, this, I'm actually a part of the problem.
You're part of the problem, but you're contradicting yourself with this.
I bought Mirror's Edge.
Okay, good for you.
I actually buy
good.
I bought Aquaria off the indie titles. I bought Limbo, Monday Night Combat. These are all by indie devs. I bought Death Spank, which I hate. I don't know why I bought that.
I like Death Spank.
it's charming, but its humor is way too immature.
But even with innovation and big budgets, I mean, case in point, Brutal Legend. I mean,
yeah.
Tim Schafer had all the cards, basically, but you saw the game. Like, they didn't execute it.
The sad part is, I was actually for, like, nominating Tim Schafer as the spokesman of the hardcore of what we want in gamers when he told off Bobby Kotick. And then I sat down and thought about it. Didn't this fucker get Brutal Legend out and it sucked? Wasn't that the game I returned? Disappointed, disgruntled, confused. Didn't beat. I mean, it tried innovation. It tried it, but it ended up using the gray environments. It tried too hard to come out against Modern Warfare.
and Uncharted 2.
It also made the metal game seem... And also, a game about metal at the end turned emo. When that girl gets, you know, she lives a group cottage, she realizes she's really evil, and she's like, gets depressed and like...
Spoilers
and all that. Oh, who cares? No one's, people have played it. People don't want to play it. Don't play it. So basically, it doesn't matter. And she turned all emo and was like, oh, I'm so... Like, oh, you, I hate you, all sort of crap. It, like, it's supposed to be, I think it's supposed to be goth, but it kind of seemed emo-y.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing, though, like, I don't think Schaefer actually... that was supposed to be, like, all the cards, as you said. That was supposed to be where he got all the money. He was supposed to prove that you could make innovation in this genre and get it selling.
And the first half was really good. It was, like, typical sort of action-adventure stuff in the first half. You know, typical sort of being an open-world metal environment, which was great. But it just when they entered that RTS stuff, that was okay. But they made it the core gameplay in the last half. It was, like, all the missions were was just go to this place, do the tower defense mission, and then you kind of travel to the next place, do that mission. It just got, I just know, it just didn't really fit the sort of genre. It wasn't built to be that sort of game. It was like they kind of made half the game, and I thought, shit, it's not that innovative. Oh no, let's add this. I'm thinking, will it work? Yeah, we can see.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. I really think he was trying to make a money-making franchise so he could afford to make another big console innovative game. And since that didn't go well, now he's forced to make, what is it, Costume Heroes or some bullshit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Costume Heroes?
Or something like that. Costume Party or something
costume.
Like that.
Costume Quest. Yeah, it's a downloadable
costume
title.
Quest. Costume
title.
Orgy? Got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, yeah, when you kind of fail on the bigger front, then you have to go to downloadable, which I think is the place where you're finding more innovative games.
Oh, we've got Limbo, haven't we? We have
Braid, we have Limbo, we have Monday Night Combat.
We've got
that new
Lara Croft is doing something different to the what is a run-on franchise.
Isometric view or something like that. So I mean, it's like the experimenting ground for like bigger franchises if they want to go retail. They'll build on their success on the downloadable front.
So with DevSpank, I mean, that game ended openly. Like, it's meant to have a sequel, that game.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they'll do with it. If it'll be, like, full price or what. I actually kind of like what Valve is doing. Oh, go on, I'm sorry, go. I'll make my point in a minute.
Okay. Shut up for a few minutes. It's like, what I don't get is... There are these big games, you know, Call of Duty, all these really, really popular ones. Now, the reason why I don't understand why these games don't try innovating is because everyone buys them every goddamn year. You could, you know, I mean, I doubt everyone watches trailers. You just post a couple of screenshots and they buy it. So you could put nothing in the game and they would buy it as long as they thought it was good. So I don't see what's the risk of, you know, innovating in a title that everyone's going to buy anyway because that's the popular game.
Yeah, that's,
but that's the thing there. You want to go?
Yeah, I'll go because you're not important. But basically... basically, you know... And
you're the one outside, jackass.
Hey, I mean, cool. I mean, different. Where was I? Where the fuck was I? That's it, you know.
Outside.
If the game does try to innovate something different out of the box, people are thinking, what the fuck? This isn't Call of Duty. This is Call of Booty or something like that. Call of Shitty. And some sort of bad pun.
You know, even
Call of Faggoty.
So, like, why would you make big changes when they could do minimal changes for lower cost and still make as much money?
Well,
that's problem with
that. That's a good point. But, you
the
know,
shareholders want people to stay, like, they want the game to be, they want to stay it safe. They want to just make the same game over and over so they know people will buy it.
I mean, as much as we hate Bobby Kotick, at least put in a face and voice to a typical business sense. He's thinking in a typical way a businessman would think, how can I maximize profits? How can I make this more popular? I mean, why does they milk a franchise? Because it can make money. And once it stops making as much money, they ditch it or do something else with it.
In the words of Tim Schafer, he doesn't have to be such a prick about it.
That is true.
But
well, he states that he hates games, and that's just, how is that helping? I mean, we've had things like, we've had Clover get canned for trying to be innovative. We have, what the fuck is it now, Respawn's trying to be innovative with EA, because they're trying to beat out Call of Duty. We have Halo makers gonna need to conform. There's a lot of shit going down.
Okay, like, I say that as innovative games, but in recent years, what innovative games have succeeded? Other than Braid, I guess.
Fallout 3, but
that was technically Oblivion with guns, but with a few things changed, like the humor added to it. It wasn't exactly innovative.
I'll say Oblivion was innovative. I'll say that.
But no, it's not. It's just like the past Oblivion. It's like the past Oblivion games. So not Oblivion games, Elder Scroll games. It's like Elder Scroll Morrowind. Only slightly toned down for
consoles. It's hard to name it without naming a sequel. It's hard to really do that without naming a sequel, but okay, Little Big Planet.
Yeah, but that game didn't do well, did it? It didn't. There was no near expectations. Sure, it got the media hype, but no one really bought it. It kind of bombed.
It's getting a sequel.
It's getting the sequel.
It did get a sequel.
But say it's getting well enough, but not well enough to people go, oh, I want to copy that. I'm in Modern Nation Races. No one's going to get on the board to... I mean, you know when a game's successful is when people try to copy it. And no one's really trying to copy Little Big Planet.
Gears of War is trying to be copied now, Assassin's Creed and GTA get copied all the time with Just Cause 2.
The first Just Cause was like that, though. The first Just Cause was a bit crazy back in it. You can't say it was copied it. It was just doing what Just Cause 1 did, but even wackier.
Fair enough.
And the first Just Cause was like came in the first year of the 360's launch or something like that. It was on the PS2 as well. So you can't say that game was a complete copy of something else.
Was still a rip-off of GTA then, but anyway, I think Will had a point to make.
I don't know, I thought kind of the narrative-pushing games were kind of from Red Dead this year, and I know that was a sequel, but, and probably like copying a lot of GTA stuff, but I mean, if you're going to push narrative and like gameplay, that's kind of the game that pushes innovation.
I mean, we don't necessarily need an innovative game. We just need to we need new franchises. We don't need necessarily, on this game, there's something different, because chances out of 10, new things don't do differently. I mean, look at the movies at the moment. The kind of top film is The Expendables, a typical action flick with all the typical people you expect in them. And that film is doing brilliant, while a more niche, more innovative film like Scott Pilgrim is only fourth. At the moment,
I completely agree, actually.
It's getting beat by Prey and Love.
it's been beat by a generic action flick. Sure, it's got an all star cast, but it's a generic action flick. And been beaten by a generic chick flick with Julia Roberts in it and the other guys, which is a typical buddy cop mockery movie.
Oh my god,
that's
not even mentioned.
Those three typical films are beating out a niche, generally innovative, with a good statement.
So, a Julia Roberts movie is beating Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Him being better than
and Jim another Will Ferrell film, which, you know, I like him, but he's not doing great in recent years. It's beating him out. Even though the film's already been out, it's beating Scott Pilgrim in its second or third week. And, of course, Expendables. Well, in fairness, though, you can't really... Even though it's going to be shit, people are going to see it. Because it's what everyone... It's every
it
big action hero in the past
everyone.
30 years in the film. It's like if there was a court of a Gears of Duty or something like that.
Gears of Duty.
If had like an all star, it was like if they made a Smash Bros. But for Call of Duty.
Gears of Halo
action.
Craft 2.
That's what I was going to say. It's like Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you got a Smash Brothers but for all the big shooters, that game would probably.
You know, Mario, Sylvester Stallone.
You have Bungie, you have Treyarch. Do it! Give us Gears of Halo Duty Brawl Edition.
Yeah, but what kind of characters would that have? They're all just generic soldiers.
It'd be Soap.
Yeah, you'd have Soap versus Marcus. You wouldn't be able to tell the fucking difference since they look the same.
Epic beard guy. What's his name? I forgot in the Call of Duty. The guy with the...
Price.
That's it. The very old-fashioned English beard that was old, it was out of date 100 years ago. Yeah,
the Winter Soldier from Call of Duty 4 versus the Jungle Soldier from Call of Duty 4. What an epic battle that would be.
As you were saying, we don't need innovation, but we need something new that does something slightly different. Maybe that's why people are clinging to things like Uncharted.
Because we all know I hate fucking Uncharted with a passion. But people are clinging to it because, oh, we have a new character. We have Dante, shooter.
But at the same time, though, I think, sure, you don't like it, but it didn't do anything innovative, but it brought things together which wasn't necessarily done in other games before. In combining the typical guns and typical cover-based shooting with the platforming from Lara Croft. Like, these Easter things, like, don't make all-out new and weird and fantastic. We need something that sort of makes small changes to existing things that does it well.
Oh, I completely agree. There's games like, what am I thinking? Okami mixed the puzzle game with the Devil May Cry-like action game. We have Beautiful Joe, which mixed the side-scrolling platformer with the brawler. We have, what the fuck am I just looking at? I'm really just taking a look at my shelf to see what I can find.
Exactly, things like
that. We have Monday Night Combat that mixed the mixed the RTS with the shooter, but did it well. Unlike Brutal Legend.
People want innovation, it's just ruining potentially good games like Singularity. That game was pretty good. It combined other things from different other games. Had the Bioshock feel, had the Half-Life sort of gravity stuff, had everything that loads of other games had done before. But it did itself pretty nicely. It was a good game, but people canned it because it wasn't innovative. And then they get other games which aren't as innovative, and they get higher scores.
I'll be completely honest. I did not buy Singularity because I saw great
No one bought Singularity.
Isn't it like the worst selling game of this year so far?
Well, I would say that. It was came out during
Dark Void was.
Oh, God, Dark Void. That game's a bargain. But literally, I've seen that game for £10 in supermarkets already.
Literally,
2 months later, I was sort of like, £15 Dark Void, thinking that came out like two months ago. Back when
it was supposed to be the greatest thing, but it got rushed out by Capcom. They just kind of pushed it out really quick. They did that with a lot of their games. They did that with Lost Planet 2 as well.
Oh, God, that game.
And Alpha Protocol got shoved away, too.
That's one of the reasons I'm actually, Diego and I both think this, mind you, so I'm not just being a hater here. That, Obsidian games, when they make sequels, they're usually really, really buggy and kind of effed up at some points. Like, I remember one point when this had nothing to do with that, but Fallout was already really buggy, and there was a point where I was actually walking, and my guy glitched so much that he was swimming on air. Like, he was flying like Superman, but doing the doggy paddle. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I'm expecting Obsidian to make that 8 times more buggy, so that's why I haven't even touched New Vegas, like, pre-orders yet.
Anyway, I should say, like, so you seem to get the opinion that you're not liking the lack of innovation this time around, aren't you? In this cycle, James. In this generation, you're not liking the innovation, are you?
I don't like it, because the only innovation I like is coming from, God, I'm going to get so canned for this, Platinum Games.
But how much innovation was there the last generation? It's in, like, PS2, GameCube area. What was innovative? Other than the Resident Evil 4.
Let's be really easy here. God Hand, Devil May Cry, Kingdom Hearts,
Grand Theft Auto,
Sly Cooper, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, but
you're naming one of
ten. Metal Gear Solid 2. Devil May Cry 3.
Okay, shut up. We get it.
We get the idea. Those weren't innovative. Most of those weren't. God Hand. Okay, it was different, but it wasn't innovative.
Yeah, but you know the.
How was God Hand not innovative?
The further you go back, the more innovative titles you get. I think it's harder to be innovative today because let's go back to the PlayStation 1, Nintendo 64 era. You know, that's when 3D suddenly showed up, and not the kind of 3D that the 3DS is showing us. The 3D that actually
Killzone 3D.
Yeah, so we have had the 3D. So, you know, games like Resident Evil and Metal Gear and what the fuck I have on that shelf, Mario 64, those games became possible because of 3D. And when the PS2 came and we had this major hardware upgrade, we suddenly had sandbox games because of the hardware upgrade we could make a bigger world. Stuff like that. So,
but James, you said Ratchet and Clank. That game's innovative. It's just it's like a throwback to other than the gun bit. It's a throwback to all the old sort of style, sort of like kiddie, sort of mascotty, sort of fun platformers. That wasn't that innovative in the terms of a game.
But we don't have them now, and we miss them. So bring them back.
The latest Ratchet Clank was fucking awesome.
Yeah, well, Ratchet sucks. Jack rules. I want
there we
Jack.
Go, there we go.
As much as I love that statement, Crack in Time was fucking amazing.
Oh, I love that game to bits.
Jet boots make everything better.
Fact.
If you like jet boots, why don't you try buying Vanquish?
But I think you're saying, okay, those games did something different, but in terms of innovation, we're looking for something that sort of changes the mold of what we expect. I've never seen before which changed the whole, in terms of what shooters we expect today. What else?
I don't think it was Resident Evil 4. I think Resident Evil 4 changed the cover shooter, but we have a lot more first-person shooters than we do cover shooters, so...
That's true.
Don't kill me for this, but I blame Half-Life and I blame Halo. I love both games. They're both really innovative for their time. They're both great. Half-Life 2 is my favorite game of all time. But people saw that success, and they copied the fuck out of it.
But that's how it works.
We started getting Call of Duty. We started getting... Yes! And that's the problem.
It's like in a PS1 era. We got loads of, the success was Crash and Spyro. We got loads of copies of those sort of types of games, which most of them sucked. But the thing is, remember the good ones. In 10 years' time, we're like looking back at this generation, and we're like, "Oh yeah, I remember these sort of." We come back in 10 years, and we'll only pick out the best of what we see. But because now we're here now, we know what's bad, and we can't think about it at the moment.
True, but now we lack variety. Years ago. I had platformers and RPGs and all sorts of stuff. Now I have first-person shooters mostly.
But true, but that's a thing for another time, really. That's a variety and innovation are kind of slightly different. They go hand in hand, but they're slightly.
They go completely hand in hand. Because in this generation, innovation really just means taking that risk to make a game like a platformer. Taking that risk to make something that doesn't take place in reality at some point. We can do literally anything with them. It's interactive storytelling. All we've done in 40 years is found out ways to upgrade how to kill people.
There is one genre. Literally... Yeah, there is one genre that really needs to improve. Needs innovation, and that's the JRPG. And when they do try something different, people go, "What the fuck is this?" Final Fantasy 13, in typical sense, it wasn't a JRPG. It did everything completely differently. I personally loved it, but many did not like it at all. And at the same time, we're getting to the same point of Dragon Quest IX, that does nothing innovative, and yet that game is doing really well. It's doing pretty decently.
I think here's the thing about JRPG fans, though. No matter what, JRPG fans just overall want two things. Good voice acting and a good story. If they can have that, they'll be fine. While the Western RPG focus more on gameplay, unless you're Mass Effect or Peter Molyneux, who try to mix both. Molyneux just ends up failing.
I'm not too sure about that. I mean, I think all fans are assholes. Pretty much. I mean, it's that typical "you changed it, now it sucks" attitude.
Infamous too. I can't believe the amount of negative reaction coming out of Cole's redesign. It's like,
I like
for
it.
For the record,
I hated Cole in the first game.
You did?
He sounded like a person trying to imitate Will Arnett. A guy who imitates typical macho rugged voices.
You guys do know that Sucker Punch did change the character back, right?
Yeah, because of the amazing negative fan reaction to that, I was just stunned.
I was actually on the negative side, so let me explain. It wasn't that the original Cole was so badass; it's continuity purposes.
That is true, but since I hated his voice in the first one.
It was bad, but here's the thing. Fans liked the game, they got attached to that character. No matter what, you can't change that.
Nice.
If you do that, they get pissed. They want continuity. You can't all of a sudden say, okay, now we're going to make him look 5 years younger. We're going to give him hair after an accident that said he couldn't grow hair. We're going to make him seem all boy bandish when it seemed like he did not care about any of that stuff. And we're just going to go all out. You can't do that. You gotta keep him in the same personality.
Now that's a good point. Yeah. Even though Aino preferred the new look, that's a point.
But I preferred the new look. It just wasn't the... Yeah, okay. That's the point. We're off subject.
You know, we want innovation, and at the same time, all the old school titles are selling well, and everyone gets hyped about them. Now, what's up with that? Like, why is Mario Galaxy 2 popular? Why is everyone excited about the new Donkey Kong? When at the same time, everyone is... Everyone wants true. Innovation.
The person, the company that won E3 was a company that rehashed every old franchise that we know.
Yeah.
They took every game out of the book.
La, 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 I can't hear you.
What's wrong with you?
I like Nintendo's conference.
Oh, no, I loved it.
We all loved it.
We just hate Nintendo.
I watched that podcast. You guys praised the shit out of it.
Yeah, it was amazing, but we're saying how, but innovation sense, it just jumps in the irony, the innovation sense of that. We all want innovation, but yet the person that won, the company that won E3 was a company that wasn't innovating and was pretty much rehashing all the franchises that everyone wanted. It just
because they gave us what everybody wanted. I mean, they didn't want rehash. What we wanted was something new that wasn't a shooter. I mean, that's really all the people want right now. It's something that's not a fucking shooter.
Good point.
I mean, it's not that hard. Release a platformer that's like Little Big Planet. It'll probably sell big. I actually expect Little Big Planet 2 to sell well. I don't know why, but I expect it to sell really well.
Because it's a sequel. Anything of a Toon Turtle sells better than the first one. Unless it's generally panned.
I just have to ask the question to James, like, is Little Big Planet 2 going to sell well in that month of November when you know Assassin's Creed Brotherhood is on the same date? Black Ops the week before. I'm just going to say, like, is that really going to happen?
No.
I take back my earlier statement because he's completely right. Halo Reach comes out September. Black Ops comes out November.
Rock Band 3 in October, probably.
November. Rock Band 3 comes out November. Now, the more I actually think about it, Little Big Planet 2 doesn't have much of a chance. And that kind of sucks.
Innovation, you are fucked. Once again.
Well, that's another problem that, this is the problem that Brutal Legend had. They can't release against these big titles. If you want to take it down...
Why not release it during summer?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yes, you need to release it during the drought. Why do you think Alan Wake did so well? What else was out?
What other horror game was out? Wow.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, Resident Evil 5? Fuck that.
If it's not made by Shinji Mikami, I don't want
it. Okay, so basically what we can get from this is... Innovation... This generation isn't as big of a deal, but we want more variety.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, if I have to play through another FPS with a fucking snow level, I'm gonna hang myself.
Oh. Don't you love it that the Killzone's like, we're gonna add color. Everyone jumps off. They show screenshots of snow. It's like, our color is white.
Thanks, guys. Awesome. That's what I hated about Uncharted 2. Up until I reached the mountains, it was awesome. Then I'm... Like a fucking
wait.
Snow level.
Did you hate Uncharted 2?
No. I said I disliked the second part because most of it took place on a mountain filled with snow and I hate
I
snow
was
levels.
So happy
you
with Jury
snow.
For a moment there. I
well, I think Uncharted 2 is actually like a one-time ride. I mean, the first time I played through, pretty good.
Yeah.
Shocking moments. I love the train level. More games need fucking trains. Make a horror game on a fucking train.
The thing that made that be good, I hope with Uncharted, there will be Uncharted 3, is that they combine the shooting with the platforming bits instead of segregating them. The thing that made that run level so brilliant was because they combined the shooting with the hanging off and the general platforming, and that's what made it such a good scene.
Even in my hatred of Article, I said I loved the train level. I do. It's one of the best levels in games, first off. Train levels aren't actually new to games, I just want to point out. San Andreas did it, Sin and Punisher did it.
Toy Story 3 did it.
Resident Evil 0 did it. There was, I don't know if you guys remember it, it was called Chase the Express in Europe and Covert Ops Nuclear Dawn in America, I think. It was basically a whole game that was kind of like a mix between Metal Gear and Resident Evil set on a train.
That sounds good.
No, it really isn't good.
No, that, but, well, it needs a sequel then.
I have to say,
sequel.
Yeah, well, You guys could check it out. I kind of liked it, but it doesn't have voice acting because of the PlayStation 1 limitations, only in big cutscenes, and that kind of destroyed it for me.
So basically, it's one of those good high-concept games that need a sequel. High-concept game that needed a sequel. Yeah, I think that's a good point to end that. I think about wraps up this time on the Vinecast.
Before we say anything... Yeah. Before we go, I just want two things to say, because I didn't get to say them. One, Borderlands isn't innovative, it's gray and humorous, it's not innovative. Two, we need more companies to do what Valve did with the Portal team, where they literally just found a college team that modded off the Half-Life Source engine and brought them in, and now is making an upcoming big franchise. We need more people to do that with the indie scene. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so pretty much you could have said what the Daniel Floyd guy said in the... extra credits, being an indie teams, and edit it from there.
Yeah. Except you didn't mention Valve, but yes, exactly.
You're a Valve fanboy, aren't you?
Who is? Okay, to be honest, there might be people who aren't these days.
You're not a fanboy if you have a Gabe Newell shrine sitting in your corner.
Then what are you?
You're just a really big fan.
Yep. Okay. This time that wraps up the Vinecast number. What number is this?
723.
Three.
Okay. So this. This sums up Vinecast number 723. Three. And I'd like to thank myself.
Of course.
Our usual host, William.
Hi.
William Saw.
I didn't say much.
I vote Craig as the next host.
But again, you never really do. You're always like the quiet sort of thing in the voice. I'm going like, I'm here. I'm over here.
This is why I'm the host. I actually get to talk.
Good point. Thank you, James Connor the Cop.
Woo!
I'm Pokemon Dewey.
Yeah, Pokemon. I'm going to kill you now. But other than that, yeah, it was nice being here. I saved the podcast again.
Hey, what are you talking about here?
Pikachu, use Thunderbolt! Take down his ego!
That's as impossible as innovation in an FPS game nowadays.
And thank you, our two listeners. I assume there's two. I think that's overcompensating, really, isn't it?
No, we'll get Francis and Diego. We'll get them.
Okay, yep. Okay, thank you to our two viewers who aren't staff.
We have two whole viewers. Wow.
Well, I hope so. I mean, we get views to the site somehow. People have got to click it at least once. Even if they don't view it, it's still a click.
Yeah. We're moving up the ladder.
Yep, I'm not clicking to occasionally clicking.
Moving on up.
Okay, well, I guess you have to now. Okay, stop.
Final words.